All in the name of Jesus this morning. Bridges. How many of you crossed the bridge on your way to church this morning? No, some of you probably didn't. No, but I think a majority of us probably crossed the bridge of some kind, and Nelson would be about the only one that crossed the bridge that was even kind of sort of big, not very big. Bridges are fascinating, and a lot of you probably know way more about statistics of bridges than I do. Bridges can be very simple in design, consisting nothing more than a log felled across a creek, maybe to walk across, or a plank. That's what first bridges would have been. And then, well, next came larger bridges when they needed to start taking horses across. First cars, they built covered bridges. As transportation progressed, everything got larger and heavier. Bridges had to evolve to meet the demand. Newer, stronger material was used. Steel started being used to take place of wood many times. Concrete as well. Engineers pushed limits to find ways to span wider and wider distances. And that brings us to bridges today. The bridge I want to look at first mostly is the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. It's one of the longest suspension bridges in the world for quite a while. It was the longest. It's not the longest anymore. You know, the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan is longer by a little bit. The main span. Also, I think Humber Bridge in England has a longer span, as well as Verrazano Narrows Bridge in New York Harbor also is longer. We know overall bridges are way longer than San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge. For instance, the Confederate Bridge. How many of you have crossed Confederate Bridge from New Hampshire to, or not New Hampshire, is it New Hampshire? Yeah, to Prince Edward Island, yeah. Quite a few of you have. It's just under 13 kilometers long, but it's not a suspension bridge. It's a box girder bridge, I think. Longest bridge in the world is in China, obviously. I kind of call 10 longest bridges in the world are in China. Longest one is 165 kilometers long between Shanghai and Beijing. Anyway, Golden Gate Bridge is about 1.5 miles long and took 4 years to build and was finished in 1937. Just a couple more interesting trivia about this bridge. The steel strands, there's two where it suspends on, is woven with strands, and the two steel strands used would cover be over 80,000 miles long, enough to circle the equator 3 times, and each support about 200 million pounds. The towers are over 746 feet high, or the tallest in the world for a bridge, and contain enough concrete. There's enough concrete in these towers to make a sidewalk 5 feet wide from New York City to San Francisco. It's amazing you wouldn't think about it. Just enough concrete in just a small area like that. But it was really hard to make this bridge because of the currents in the bay there, the tides and the winds reaching up to 100 miles per hour. It was built to withstand an earthquake of 8 magnitude. And it has built-in sway. One place said 27 feet. I don't think it's built to withstand or to be able to have 27 feet of sway, but somewhere between 6 feet and 27 feet. It's made to sway anyway. Imagine what the people thought in 1869 when Joshua Norton proposed the this bridge to be built. They called him crazy, called him a lunatic. It wasn't until February 1933 that Joseph B. Strauss came up with a design that would work, and that was constructed according to that design. We all have a bridge with us this morning. The Bible is a bridge, a powerful bridge that connects God with us, his teaching with us. But we won't necessarily just talk about the Bible as being the bridge today. We want to go back in time to another person that was the bridge, but that also will not be the main thrust of our message. Let's look at the life of John the Baptist. Here also was a person that was ridiculed, and he also was a bridge. We'll read verse or chapter 3 of Matthew. Look at him a little bit for the start of this message. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle upon his loins, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we see here John the Baptist was preaching repentance. He was preparing the way. And it's amazing how he was such a bold person to preach repentance, but yet as soon as Jesus was there, he was ready to cede that authority to Christ and to let Christ take the spotlight. He was a bridge from the darkness of the Israelites here this time to the time of Christ, and he was faithful in being that bridge. He was not shy about it. He was a powerful bridge builder. And we today, this is not a typical New Year's message maybe, but we are standing in a gap here from last year to the next year. And there's also a gap that each one of us has a responsibility to bridge. We're bridging the gap. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says, And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. This is here Ezekiel speaking in the Old Testament, obviously. And Luke 16, verse 26, breaking in just part of the verse, says, "Between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed." So we all know that spiritually there is a gulf between man and God. This gulf has been there ever since the beginning of time. But number one, the gulf is bridged by the Savior. Now, further, the message from here on will be basically just looking at verses in the Bible. You don't need to turn to all of them. I won't be have them all written down here. So look at these, all the gaps that have been bridged, or the gap that has been bridged. The gap is bridged by the Savior. In Acts 4, verse 12, it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." It's only Christ. He is the only one that can bridge this gap between God and man. Also, John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And just in relation to that, we all obviously know that there is no way for man to be right with God other than Christ, but so often we try to find another way, and mankind tries to construct their own feeble little bridge of their own making between them, us and God. But those bridges all collapse and they never reach the other side. All right, A, Christ is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." B, he is our advocate. Closely related to the same word, but 1 John 2, verse 2. "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And see, he is our intercessor. Hebrews 7, verse 25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And D, he is our high priest. Hebrews 4, verse 14, 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So, in a sense, we know that Christ was on our side of the gap, and he is now on the other side. He is that bridge. He is the high priest. We have access to God through him. He bridged that gap. All right, number two, the gap is bridged by salvation. The gap between us and God. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We are grafted into the vine. John 15, verse 2. "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." And we are adopted into the family. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So we have access to Christ, to God, through salvation. We have been adopted into the family. We are also children born into the family. John 1, verses 12 and 13 says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." He gave us the right to become children of God, to everyone that believes. And it doesn't matter where on this earth we might have been born, where, what family we might have been born into, but the family of God can be our family. Next, we are the sheep of his flock. John 10, verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." All right, the third gap that is bridged by submission. The gap between us and God is bridged by submission. Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." If we expect to have this unity of faith, it will require submission. Look at a few points here. A, younger submit to the elder. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." It starts off here with younger submitting to the elder, and then it says, "Yea, all of you submit one to another." I think in Christ we all are required to submit. Next one is wives submit to husbands. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." Next one, servants to submit to masters. Titus 2, verses 9 and 10. "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things." And also children to submit to parents. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." And the last one here, believers to submit one to another. Ephesians 5, verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." If we want to be connected to God, if we want to be right with God, have access to him, we will need submission in our lives. All right, the fourth gap is bridged by suffering. And this isn't an exhaustive list here that I have, but these are just some gaps that are bridged between us and God. First one, the suffering of Christ. 1 Peter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And we know that there would be no bridge between us and God if Christ had not died physical death on the cross. Then we would still have that gulf between us. And also the suffering of Christians, 1 Peter 4, verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So, from these verses, I think it's clear to us that we can expect suffering on this bridge between us and God as well. And just like a physical bridge, any time a bridge was built, there was also suffering included. The gap is bridged by prayer. Acts 2 verses 1 to 4 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This isn't maybe necessarily directly speaking about prayer. I think that's what they were doing when they were speaking in tongues. They were glorifying God. But we know that prayer in our life is also a bridge between us and God. We have access to him through the bridge of prayer. And it is a powerful bridge. It's a strong bridge. We need to maintain this bridge. So almost all these bridges, these gaps that have been bridged, require maintenance. And again, to think of the illustration of a physical bridge, you know, bridges all require maintenance, and we sometimes gripe about having to wait when they're doing bridge construction, bridge repairs. But, you know, bridges require upkeep. Bridges require us to be vigilant and careful with them. Incidentally, the color of the Golden Gate Bridge was, at first it was supposed to be yellow and blue, but then the steel showed up with the rust coat, rust protection, which was the orange color it is today, and they decided it was more visible in fog than the yellow and blue would have been, so they kept that color. But the lead was lead-based paint, so all the paint has been removed and repainted on the Golden Gate Bridge. It's no longer a lead base primer that's on there, but it would have been a lot of work to replace all that primer. Anyway, the next gap to be bridged by evangelism. We looked at that in a Sunday school lesson this morning, but James 5 verse 20 says, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin, or shall prevent a multitude of sin. And as we see the great gulf that is fixed between most of humanity and God, it gives us an urgency to be involved in this bridge building, doesn't it? The last one I have here is the gap will be bridged by the second coming. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 to 18. It's for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. I think we are all, probably some more than others, but looking forward to that day when Christ will descend and finally bridge that gap ultimately, physically, between us and heaven. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And we can use let our imagination run when we think about what it will be like when he will appear, when we will be with him. But we are now at the beginning of a new year, bridge between last year and the next year. And let's draw closer to one another and to Christ and his cross, which has bridged the gap between us and God. Let's help others to this bridge. Let's be the bridge for the lost. Be a part of the bridge. You know, this bridge that we are on is over turbulent waters, and we will face a lot of strong currents. We'll have to be resilient as well if we are part of this bridge. We'll face opposition, but let's do our part and be faithful, being the bridge connecting those around us to Christ. Let's kneel for prayer.
Father, we come for you as in the service for Christ that came and bridged the gap between us and your holiness. We realize that so many times we try to bypass this bridge, make a bridge of our own doing to somehow come to you. In all terms, we know that never works. So help us to be humble enough to take your way, and also be willing to be part of your bridge, to lead others to you, to be clear in our evangelism to others, that we would not be ashamed. Also, as we think especially of bridging the gap between coming generations and we have been taught that we would be faithful as well to carry on truth as we understand it, as you have taught it in the Bible, as to not be ashamed, but to be strong in these last days. Lord, we are so thankful that Jesus was willing to come and to bridge that gap, to suffer and die for us. That you'd be with us through this.